Whew. Wow. That's like you're right there. Yeah, amazing going to be. I mean, that's just, I was studying this morning about the holiness of God. I wrote a few notes. I said, you know, sometimes we're like people that come to a ball game. And for pretty much all year, the team is not really a big deal to us. We haven't invested in that team. We may buy a T-shirt or a shirt of that team or maybe wearing the colors of that team. But we really not are part of that team. And I said, oh God, so many times I act like that to God. So many times we come to church and we carry our Bible and we get all gussied up. And I wrote down, I wonder sometimes if we don't just go as a spectator instead of a competitor. Boy, I'll tell you what, I was really smitten with that. And that song tonight, boy, that really, wow, that's beautiful. Thank you. Just remind us of the holiness of God. Every time I go to prayer, I say, dear God, I thank you for allowing us to come boldly before the throne of grace. For at one time, we Gentiles and we heathens had no right. And no one would even, you know, back in those days, if you weren't introduced in the courtroom or if you weren't brought in and said, this is somebody, you'd never get before the king. And I thought, boy, oh boy, dear God, help us. Help us, help us, help us. All right. Kind of hard to turn loose those yelling kids and after that. But all right, boys and girls, you may go upstairs. Thank you. That's where you're going, right? Good, amen. That was a good song. That was good. That was good. Amen. Tonight we're going to be at Psalm 119, 163. Thank you for coming out. Drove up here at 7:15 tonight. Like to be a little earlier, but certain people have certain ways about getting here. And saw the cars, and I said, oh, I told Marcia, I said, isn't it good? Look at all the cars, and all your friends are here. And she giggled, amen. Let's stand and read it tonight. Psalm 119. Shin. We'll read verse 161 to 168. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Great peace have they that love thy law, which love thy law. I wonder how many could write that in the Bible, amen. And nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they that love thy law. You're not going to have much peace if you don't have the law of the Lord in your heart, amen. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done my commandments. And done thy commandments, my soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight as we look into the scriptures. May we be blessed. May it be a refreshment. Thank you for Wednesday night that we can come together and get charged up for the rest of the week. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We see 2 sets of contrasts in this verse. We see love and hate. We see the law and lying. The word used for lying suggests the falsehood of false religions. Somehow we shrink back by using the word lying and describe false religions. But that's not what the Bible does. The Bible says it's false religion. And we want to be very careful that we teach our children about false religions. There are some things that will come up in their lives, and somebody will snooker, but I don't know if that's a good word or not in church. They'll get you to think one thing, and they're really saying another. A lot of churches today, or religions today, they say one thing, but they don't mean the same thing that we mean in a church service or in a preaching or what we believe biblically. That's why it's so important that we know the Word of God. We shrink back from using words of lying to describe false religion, but that's what it is. I had some Jehovah Witnesses stop into my house the other day, and I said, you know, I'm not interested in your cult. I fell off my step, which I want them to do. Not hurting themselves, just fall off. Do you know John, I think it's 3 John, 2 John or 3 John, says you're not even supposed to let them in your house. Or bid them Godspeed. Do not let these Mormons come into your house. You say, but I know. Yeah, I know, but maybe your little children don't know. Or maybe they may get you quandering or thinking of something by the way they say it. They are constantly using things to keep them from knowing the Word of God. I was just listening to their article the other day, today, and it said that, it's an island. It is the most Muslim island in the world. And the Christians, all of a sudden, there's little baby churches just popping up all over the place. Now, the Muslims are putting out videos and tell them how to withstand these dirty, rotten, filthy, false people, the Christians. Not a blessing, amen. I think it's Indonesia, maybe it's Indonesia. The tendency today is to try to emphasize their good points. Oh, they're really family. How many know what I'm talking about? They're really family oriented. Well, they're not. Must not be family oriented. They're sending their kids to hell. That's not family oriented. Yeah, they got little food banks here, and if you're hungry, they'll feed you. And so, well, so should we. So should we. Try to emphasize good points of their religion, and just so we accommodate them. They're wrong. If you knew that somebody was going to get shot right now, and you had the opportunity to get them out of that being shot, wouldn't you do it? Well, these people are going to hell. What's worse, getting shot or go to hell? Worst thing is go to hell. Forever. Yeah, I don't want to get shot either, brother. Worst thing is if they get shot and that's it. They're done. They go to hell, amen. But it's a terrible thing to allow someone to go to hell. And 3/5 of all converts today said at one time they went to a Baptist church of Mormons. And it's because the Word of God is not being preached and saying, thus saith the Lord God, this is what the Bible says. This is how we get salvation. It's not a burning in your stomach. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son. He did not have brothers. And he did not have a brother whose name was demon or Satan. Check that out. That's blasphemy. And people say, well, they take good care of their families. They take good care of their members. No, they don't. Their members are burning in hell. Anything that's contrary to the Word of God is false. Lying is the word the Holy Spirit uses. No doubt, those who propagate religious lies believe them to be truth, but that does not make them a truth. Well, they're sincere.
Yeah, I was sincere one time too. I was going to jump over a ditch full of water. I was really sincere. I knew I could do it. I found out I couldn't walk on water either. I was sincere they could jump from one post to the next in the pig pen. I was sincerely wrong, and my mother hosed me down outside, amen. I was sincere that officer would not give me a ticket. I hear a lot of people say that. Hey, by the way, don't drop my name. Man, I'm not one of your members the other day. Oh, good. And that card I give you, and I say that's a get-out-of-card-free card, it doesn't work. I could say ask somebody, but I won't. In the day of Columbus, everybody believed the world was what? Flat. Everybody believed except one guy who read his Bible, and his name was Columbus. And if anyone would sail off in the wild blue yonder, they'd fall off. They'd fall right over the edge. That's what the book said. This argument seemed to make sense, and so people could not imagine other people living on upside down in the world. I thought that was kind of funny. Maybe it wasn't funny to you, but see these people walking upside down the world, you know, flat world. Thank you. I guess that's why I like those Far Side. They don't do that anymore, do they? Far Side? That's a good one, isn't there? You know what? As much as they thought, did not make it flat. John Philip tells a story some time ago. He was trying to find a street in a strange town. He stopped and asked the man for direction. He thought for a moment, hesitated, and then gave him some directions. He said, I was back 2 miles, and I would see a gas station. So I went back 2 miles. I didn't find a gas station. It was supposed to take a left turn. There's no place to take a left turn. I took a right turn until I came to a traffic light, and there was no traffic light. As it turned out, that guy didn't know where he was talking about. But I did exactly what he told me to do. He was telling me a lie. He really had no idea where the place was, and he was not willing to admit it. Oh, I run into people like that telling me all the time about heaven and how they're going to heaven. And I ask them, how are you going to get to heaven? Well, we'll see. Instead, he sent this man on a wild goose chase. When I did finally find the place, a completely different direction than that rascal told me. And wasted all that time. That's what false religions do. The people who propagate them have not the slightest idea how to get to heaven. Yet, their talk is very convincing, and they persuade people to follow their direction. You know what Jesus called them? The blind leading the blind. Blind leaders of the blind. To be charitable, perhaps the man who gave him the false direction made a mistake himself. Perhaps he didn't think that was the way to go, but no matter whether there or not, he said, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. See, taking a stand for the truth is not calculated to make persons popular with the false teachers. But then God's word has never been popular. It has simply been right. Simply been right. It's not a question, of course, of hating people, even people who give false information. The question of hating falsehood, especially religious falsehood, because religious falsehood is the most dangerous falsehood in all the world. We hear these politicians today. Good night. Let's get this thing over with. But somebody say amen, you know. I just can't find my server. But anyway, I think she came out. But anyway. You see, the problem with the religious thing is that they not only deceive, but they damn. They send little boys and little girls and old grandmas and old grandpas straight to hell because they've been deceived instead of telling them the truth. Now let's look at verse 164. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Here's where I get breakfast, dinner, supper. Are you ready? 7 times do I praise the Lord. When I get up, I praise God for His righteous judgment. Aren't you glad that God judges you righteously? Aren't you glad that I don't judge you and He doesn't judge you and she doesn't judge you? They do, but anyway. First of all, He says, I praise the Lord 7 times for His righteous judgment when I get up in the morning. When I eat my breakfast. When I have lunch, that's 10 o'clock. When I have dinner, that's high noon. 7 times a day when I have lunch, and then when I have supper, 7 times a day do I praise the Lord and then go to bed. Hey, you ought to praise God every thought of your life, amen, of His righteous judgment. You know what? You can have people really be against you. You know that, don't you? You can have really people upset with you. Last week I texted somebody and I said, I'd like to speak to you. And I never got it back. That's why I hate texting. Because you can't answer me or you don't have to answer me. If I haven't answered you in 10 or 20 minutes, text me again. Maybe I didn't see it or secondly I forgot it. But I texted him once and didn't hear nothing from him. And I wanted to talk to him about how I appreciated he did something. I just wanted to thank him. I just, in my soul, I just wanted to thank him. It was an interesting thing that happened, and I just wanted to thank him. And so the other day I saw him, and I said, hey, I need to talk to you. He said, I'm not talking to you. I said, what are you talking about? He says, I said, I'd just like to say something to you. He said, hey, I ain't talking to you. He walked away from me. He's not from our church. It's a situation. And so my heart was crushed because I love this guy. I really do. I just, he's a real man's man. I love the guy. He's just a great guy. So I went to God about it. And then I talked to somebody else about it. I said, oh, I know. I talked to Warren Ebert. He's a chaplain down in Gallatin County. And I said, Warren, I said, this thing happened. I just said, it just blows my mind. I said, why in the world? I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to write him a letter. And I'm going to tell him, you know, I want you to know I love you and I respect you. And I wrote a nice letter to him. I did. I told him. I said, I believe that his actions, what he did, kept some people from getting hurt and so on, whatever. And I stayed up late working on that. And I put it on his desk. And today I see it was gone. The letter was gone. I believe with all my heart that he thought that I was going to judge him for something that he may have done that he thought was not right. And I'm telling you, he did exactly what he's supposed to do. So we don't know our life. I know some of you guys have a lot of guys working for you. And I think I know your heart, and I think that you're fair men, and you want everything, but sometimes guys don't get it. I mean, you like to shake the snot out of them and get them to understand that you're not there to hurt them. You're there to help them to love. That's probably not a good word, snot. Mucus. No, that's not good either. Well, anyway, you just let me shake the living daylight. That's what my mama, I like to shake the living daylight out of you, boy. But just to get them to understand that you love them and you are looking out for them. That's why you have the job. That's why it is your responsibility to look after your troops or look after these people that have been put in your responsibility. I have not yet met really too many men that don't want to do right towards their troops. And I know that you can tell me, but I'll bet you can only tell me a few. But the guys that you've worked with. I've seen guys in our church that their level of intensity at work would just clear up there, and then one guy comes into that shop, or one guy comes in and becomes the first shirt, and he just destroys some people. Not too many people want to do that, I don't think. But we thank God for the justice that God gives us. And there's a lot of times that we make decisions, and that's why Solomon said, "Hey, wait till you hear the whole answer before you answer." Oh man, I'm really quick. I'm telling you, at my stage of my life right now, somebody says, "I'm getting it done. I'm going to the next problem." Amen. But sometimes, easy. You know, my dad used to hit that old horse on the flank. Easy, boy. Easy, big fella. Easy. Sometimes I need to do that to me. Amen. Easy, boy. Easy, boy. All right. Now, thank you. Seven times a day. If we want to take the expression most literally we can, it would be a good example for us to follow, not just pausing seven times a day to pray, to ask God for gifts, or simply guidance and grace, but simply to praise Him. I think we don't praise Him enough. Boy, this morning is beautiful. This morning was so beautiful. I got called out the other day. I'm working with the hospital right now on call, and I had so much correspondence to do, and I had newspapers. I read my newspapers, and I had a stack of newspapers. I mean, a stack of newspapers. And so I'm working on that Sunday night, and I put my little sweetie to bed, and then she's not tearing my stack up, and I can read it, all right? And 3:00 in the morning, praise the Lord, I got done. But I had a nap on Saturday, on Sunday afternoon. Not much, but I got a nap, and that gave me enough stamina. I no more and laid down and beep 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 beep, and I called patient flow at the hospital, and they said there's a lady dying, and they're going to pull the plug, but they want a chaplain there to read scriptures and pray. I said, "Ma'am," I said, "I'll be right there," and. Poor Bree, she kind of backs me up on that. I called Bree and she answered the phone. Thank the Lord. I said, "Hey, I got to get to the hospital right now. So I'll be right over, preacher." So she comes and takes care of Marcia. I run out and lady passed. I came in and I said, "Ma'am," I said, sir, I'm not a Catholic. I'm a Baptist. He says, "I don't care what you are, as long as you pray for my wife." He's blubbering, you know. And so I read scriptures. And I wish you knew what it's like. Oh, Carly, we were same thing for your granddaddy, didn't we? And I don't know how many of those I've been at. But God just puts me in the right place. I read some sweet scriptures to him. And I prayed. And I sang Amazing Grace. And I saw its time just about. And all of a sudden, it was done. No more than a half hour. And I read Revelation 21-22, where no more, you know, he's going to bring a new heaven, a new earth, no more hurt, no more pain, no more tears. And old daddy, you know, he just wept. And old dad wept, his wife, probably 90 maybe, just wept. And why I said all that is I was coming home at 5:30
What a beautiful day out. My goodness sake. The birdies chirp. Just a chirping, going crazy. Just waking everybody else up. Chip, 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 chip. I think it's the babies looking for worms. That's what I think, amen. But isn't God good what he gives us? We ought to thank him. I think we just don't praise him enough. I know we got fires going, but tonight, boy, that's sundown tonight if we get out of here in time. It'll be red. It's fire red. It is beautiful. It is. And so much God has for us. Amen. I want you to look at this. Great peace have they that love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. It's 8:20. We're doing pretty good. Amen. Hang on there. The word for offend is literally make them to stumble. And nothing shall make them to stumble. Great peace have thy, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them or make them stumble. How many times somebody has said something to you that's so derogatory and it makes you to stumble? Well, Dave, the writer here says, you know what? If you have great peace in the law, even when they say that, you're not going to stumble at it. Why? Anybody got an answer for me? Why wouldn't I stumble at something like that? What's your answer?
Faith.
Faith, okay. Why wouldn't I stumble? What are we here for? What are we on this earth for? Glorify the Lord. Okay. So, if I'm here to glorify the Lord and somebody says something to me that would make me to, you know, upset, stumble, you know, somebody says that pretty much lets the air out of you for a while. But how can I use that? He said it by faith. By faith, we know who's keeping score. Whether they believe it or not, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words, what? Will never. Yeah, that's baloney. Words hurt me. They really hurt me. I have dinner today with a couple guys. And there's one guy that, he's always stirring it up, you know. And he's a funny guy. He's not mean. So he came around, and he is American Indian. And he came around, and he says, "Why do you always say that to me?" He was talking to this his boss. And he said, and I says, "Because you're an Indian." I shouldn't tell this stuff because it's really, there's no partisan, no, what do you say when people say something bad against a race? There's no prejudice at all, okay? And I said, "Because he's an Indian." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Did he treat you that too?" I said, "Yeah, I'm Shoshone and he treats me the same way. And this guy is dying." And I said, "Yeah, we ought to turn him in." And, that doesn't hurt us. You know, that doesn't hurt us. But there are some things in our home that maybe a sister will say something about a sister. And maybe sister's had a little problem with weight, or sister's had a little problem with clothes don't fit just right, and so on and so forth. And boy, pow! You make her stumble. A little child, you say something and make him stumble. A husband comes home and he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. He comes home and pow! She drops him to his knees. Wow. How can he recover? By faith. He says, "I know. I know I'm trying my best." And sometimes, this thing the other day, it says, the reason that we're in so much trouble is usually because we're stupid. But anyway, things in our hearts, in our lives that go on, remember who is the rewarder
of those things that we do. God is. And though someone says something to us and really badgers us or really hurts us terribly, let's remember who is keeping score. Because if you take off after it, we negate or violate what God told us in the Bible. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay. And so, you remember my old sermon, Leave It Alone, Dwayne? Y'all remember that? When you don't leave it alone, you become the judge. And many times, you not only want to be the judge, you want to be the executioner. Instead of allowing God to say, I'll take care of it, son. Leave it alone. How many of you have ever had a child in your home that something went wrong and your child says, I'll take care of it, Dad? It only happens when you have an older sister that does that. I know that. I that's why I'm scarred for life. Time you say sure, and I go. But anyway. That's the worst thing you can turn over to your child, let a child discipline another child. Are you kidding me? They have no restraints. They love to whack them. And on. I could just go on and on and on. But I want you to get a hold of this scriptures and understand the Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Or they are not going to stumble over somehow because they have faith in God, knowing that He is going to take care of it. Fellas, you'd be a lot better off at work if you didn't take your troubles into your own hands. Ladies, same way at work. Stop your chirping, whining. In coffee time, leave it alone, Dwayne. Just let it alone. Just leave it alone, because it's gonna get all over you. The word of offend really means to make stumble. Those who love God's word are armored against the fiery darts of Satan. Their feet are guided so that they do not fall into the snare. Situations cannot make them stumble. On the contrary, they can say of the Apostle Paul, Philippians 1:12, you'll write this down, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather for the furtherance of the gospel. These things that happened to me gave me a better opportunity to witness about the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever been around guys that always, it's always somebody else's fault, or you always been around guys that they say people are picking on them? Who wants to work with those people? Because you know one of these days it's going to turn around and it's going to bite you. It's not fun to be around people like that. Well, it's their fault. Thank God for that. Scholars cannot make them stumble. They are touched with truth itself. Truth imparted by the omniscient wisdom of the Holy Spirit of God. Theories and philosophies of men are like surging seas which break themselves at last against the massive headlands and the coastlines of the Word of God. You know, people will tell things and say, hey, stand on the truth. Stand on the truth. Stand on what the Bible says. Stand on what the Bible says. By the way, you got to know what the Bible says to stand on what the Bible says. It's a good idea to read your Bible once in a while. Sovereigns cannot make you stumble. The king's heart is the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water, Proverbs 21:1. One of the most imperious of kings
He turneth it whithersoever he shall will. No matter who you are, Mr. King or Mr. President, sorry, you ain't going to turn this. And the things that you do wrong, it'll be showed off because God's Word said that. Human government can do anything they want. I hear that the gal down in Houston, they want to, they're doing a whole bunch of stuff again down there. You know, that's the one that said all the preachers had to turn in their sermons and everything else. Now they're going after another way. And they took something out of the ballot, and they can't do it. And you know what? Hey, it's okay. It's okay. It just made a few of those preachers, people woke up and said, hey, I'm going to that guy's church. Man, he stands for what's right. Instead of saying, whoa, it's me. Look at how they're picking on us. Amen. God has always having a way of hanging this world. God always has his way of hanging this world's Hamans on the gallows they prepared for Mordecai. Remember the story? Haman, Mordecai. Haman just hated the Jews, especially hated Mordecai. He built a gallows. He got hung on it himself. Sinners cannot make them stumble. The temptations they put before them, they don't entice us. The terrors they threaten to do not intimidate. Great peace have they that have loved thy law. And nothing shall make them stumble, may I say. Such is the peace of the psalmist and the peace of the psalmist. The world cannot give peace. A peace cannot be taken away. It's peace that does not depend on what happened. We have peace because we love God. And we know He has the answers. Then verse 66, the Lord. Let's see here. The Lord, I hope. He said, Lord, I hope for thy salvation and done thy commandments. It is a great thing to have a good conscience. It's a good thing to have a good... Hey, it's a wonderful thing to go to bed and have a good conscience. Some of you guys, you know what I'm talking about. All night, come home, lay in bed, and hope nobody caught you, nobody saw you, nobody, you know. It's not a good way to go to sleep, amen. You get pretty jumpy, amen. I have done thy commandments. The thing that stung David after his fall was a tormented knowledge that he had not done God's commandment, had broken them. As a result, he lost all sense of assurance of his salvation. He paid the terrible price for sin. And by no means, the least part of that price was a tormented soul, which overwhelmed him. When he thought he had severed forever his communion with God. Psalm 51, he says, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He's worried. Why do you think he said that? Anybody got an idea? Why did he say, God, take not thy Holy Spirit from me? Did he have any illustration that he could think about, God? Who? Who did he know? That was a king before him. That God had said, that's it. Holy Spirit's done with you. You're done. Who? King Saul. Do you think that David watched King Saul in torment? You know he did. He's the guy over there playing the harp. Did a bad spirit. Scared to death. The singer of this psalm, however, had a conscience void of offense such as a person can hope in the strong way that the word is used in the Bible for God's salvation. The hope sides of salvation, it's always been the side to the future. It brought most sharply focused in this phrase, the blessed hope, the bright prospect of Christ's return. Persons who have a good conscience toward God can make that blessed hope the bright and shining star of the darkest night. I have a hope. I watched that lady die the other morning. I stood there and I was wondering, well, I hope somebody told her about Jesus. I don't think the man and his daughter that stood there next to their mother as she took that last breath, I can still see it. Alarms started going off. You've been in ICU. And I thought, someday I will sorrow, but not as others who have no hope. My sweetie pie, someday she goes before me. Someday I will sorrow. I love her with all my heart. I'll sorrow. But way up in that north sky, there's a North Star hooked to that little hip to that Big Dipper. And that is going to shine so bright because I'll say, I'll see you again. I'll see you again. People don't have hope. David thought he lost it. Oh, God, he says, don't let me. In verse 167, my soul hath kept thy testimony and loved them exceedingly. We note the superlative exceedingly. For us to say, I love it, I love God's Word, is a strong statement. And a stronger, for instance, I like God's Word. The psalmist says about God's Word, I love them exceedingly. God did not say to the surging sea, let the waters bring forth. God said to the sea, and I love this. I'm a fisherman. I love fish. He said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. And boy, they're abundant, amen. In the myriads of forms of life swarm through these seas, variety astonishes us still. They're still finding new stuff in there. When Moses described the overflow of Pharaoh's host in the water of the Red Sea, he did not say the Lord hath triumphed. He said the Lord hath triumphed gloriously. I wish we'd get a hold of that. The whole world would resound the tidings of victory of the Canaan tribes, which doubt and dismays men made idols of wood and stone when Israel found fault with the manna in the wilderness and the Holy Spirit does not say the anger of the Lord was kindled. He said the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. And then last, my soul hath kept thy testimonies. This is not difficult to do something you love. And do anyway. It's not hard to do things you love. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he was telling me about different jobs. And I said, hey, let me tell you something. I said, my daddy taught me this. One man's work is another man's play. And he says, if you like to go out to golf, you're playing. But I guess, I don't know, I was telling Brother Scott there, and I said, but if you're going to be a professional, you're hitting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of balls every day. And thousands of them a week. Constantly, 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 constantly. Same way with fishing. There's some guys that are getting real tired up in Alaska right now. They've been working on the fishing boats. I know, we all love watching the deadliest catch, all right. But these guys are working, 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 working. I'd go fishing, but I'll tell you what, after about, you know, I was back in Michigan. Remember when I went back from my aunt's funeral? Every day we went fishing. After a while, hey, you know, sorry. It just,
I wanted to ride a motorcycle or something. All day long, looking down a hole and going like this. Just kind of, you know. Well, that's my play. Now, you turn me loose preaching. You turn me loose counseling. You turn me loose helping people out in our community. And I'll be out all night. And I'll go to bed and I'll get up in the morning after 3 hours of sleep and I'll keep going. That's my play. It's my life. If you love me, Jesus said, you'll keep my commandments. Loving and keeping are thus wedded together to him. Old Testament singer had entered somewhat into the truth of that, and he was not ruled by the law, but by the love of the law. Can I tell you one more story? I know it's late. Years ago, there was a lady that thought that she had found the perfect gentleman to marry. And she married him. And within about a month, she found out he was a tyrant. He was mean, abusive. I mean, mean and abusive. He yelled at her, demanded of her. He would write a list of things that she had to get done before he got home, or he'd take a belt to her. I'll tell you what, I'm glad I didn't know who he was. Because I'd take a couple of my deacons with me. We'd go down there and you'd beat them up and I'd sit on them. Amen. She put up that for about 15 years. And thank God that old bird died. Amen. And she vowed. She said, I will never marry a king. But you know how things happen. She met a really nice gentleman who put no demands on her. He came into her life as a sweet gentleman, and his wife had passed because of cancer. He invited her to go out for ice cream and for a walk by the river. And finally, he popped the question, and he said, I just love being around you. Will you marry me? And she said, no. He said, what did I do? He says, no, what you did is what he did. And she told the story of her abuse. Showed on her arms where the leather belt had cut her arms. Oh yeah, there's still people out there like that. Somehow, he changed her mind. And they got married. And life for the first year was bliss. You know how it is. It's the greatest thing ever happened in life. One day, she was cleaning the house. And she said, I better get this house done before he gets home. And she pulled the chest of drawers away from the... And there was a note from her former husband. And it says, before I get home, you had better have all the dishes washed and all the house clean and the grass mowed and all the laundry done, or I will beat you. She looked at that and just got furious, and then she started laughing. She said, I mowed the lawn today. I washed all the laundry. I cleaned the house, and I'd whistled while I worked the whole time. I did it because I loved him, not because that devil made me. Let me tell you something. That's a Christian life. Christian life is not a lot of laws. There is obedience. There's obedience. We need to be obedient to the Word of God, and sometimes we may not really... Well, it's kind of like at home when you got dirty diaper and you say, well, I hope he gets home soon enough. Well, it says on the back up to 40 pounds, so hey, you know. Thank you for laughing. Amen. Have I bored you so much tonight? But that's what Christianity is about.
Christianity says, I love him. I keep thy precept because thy testimony for all the ways before me, they're always before me. I love. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Not because of that rod, that whip, or that belt. Because, by the way, boys and girls, that's how you all love mom and daddy. Not because dad's coming home. Because he is coming home. But because you love your family. Father God in heaven, help us to love you so much that it is a privilege, it is pleasure, it's play, that we get to do the things you tell us to do. Paul caught it. He figured it out right at the first. Help us, Lord, to be more like you. Help us to read your Bible, know how we're supposed to be and how we're to be obedient to it. Out of love. Not out of fear, but out of love. Speak to us now, Lord Jesus. Thank you for these folks who listened so carefully tonight. Help us live for you in Jesus' name. Amen.